If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. We are going to take part in something that Jesus commanded for us to take part in. 1 Corinthians 11 is where we get instructions on what the church calls communion or the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to take part in that this evening. We try to do it a few times a year. And the last time we did it was back in October, so that was about 4 months ago. And so we want to be faithful and continue to do what God's called us to do. So if you need a Bible, please raise your hand up. If you don't have a Bible in your lap, or if you don't have it on your phone, raise your hand up high. Anyone need a Bible? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay, we've got a couple there in the back. Sweet. We got Bibles coming to you. Keep your hand up. I see that hand. God bless you. You see that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just so used to that. Sorry. Only a few got it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11. We'll look at verse 23 this evening. We'll look at 23 through 28, so you can kind of go over to that part of 1 Corinthians 11. All right. You guys okay? What's so funny? You okay? You okay, Willie? He's just, you know what, Willie, here's something I know about Willie. Willie is just so excited. When he heard the word communion, he started to tear up. And he had tears that turned into laughter of joy because communion is so special. So we're going to find out, just like what Willie knows, how special communion is. So I hope you guys are excited about that. Before we actually get started, There's something that has been heavy on my heart all day that I want to just kind of pray with you guys in, make you guys aware of it, and just commit it to the Lord. Today, just like every Wednesday, I go into Hesperia High. Any Hesperia High people in here? No, probably not. I don't. Hesperia High. Woo! Wait, where's Kyle? Kyle, you go to Hesperia High. Come on, don't hide. You're too tall. You can't hide. Stand up, Kyle. Come up here, Kyle. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, last week was Kyle's birthday. No, I'm just kidding. And so I go to Sperry High every Wednesday. When I go into Sperry High, there's a few kids that go to Christian Club. We have about 6-7 kids maybe consistently and faithfully going to Christian Club. One of those kids came up to me and shared some news that was really devastating. She just got diagnosed with the disease. And she doesn't know basically how long she's going to live, what the Lord's going to do next. She's going through just a really tough time. She literally found out this morning and then went to school. So she's at the doctor's office and then went to school. So she was just in tears. She didn't know what to do. And so she's just like, can I just talk to you? And so I got to hang out with her and pray with her. And literally I just ditched club just to spend some time with her and pray with her and encourage her. So I just want to start out our service. She doesn't even come to our youth group. But this is what's really unique about the body of Christ is even when people don't come to our church or our youth group, they still are a part of the body of Christ. And the Bible speaks on when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And so she's suffering. She's going through a hard time. And so I thought it'd be really awesome and sweet of us if we just pray for her to start our service. And then we'll go and we'll study God's word and take part in communion. So I just want to pray for her and then we'll go for it. So let's pray. Father, we do come before you. And Lord, I just want to lift up this young lady to you. Lord, you know who she is. You know her name. And so Lord, I just ask and pray that you would just be with her in this very moment. Lord, she's at home right now. Lord, she's fearful. She's overwhelmed. Lord, I know even in talking to her, she was questioning God. But why has God allowed this? Why would God do this? And Lord, I believe that's reasonable. It's reasonable to question. It's reasonable to wonder. But Lord, as this young lady shared, she still has a faith and a trust in her God. That though she doesn't know why, she does know who. She knows that God's in control. Though she doesn't know why, she knows that Jesus died for her. And though her life may be shorter than she had expected, 16 years old with this disease, Lord, she knows that she gets to spend eternity with the one who created her and the one who loved her so much that he gave his one and only son for her. And so, Lord, I just thank you so much for her faith, for her genuineness. And Lord, we just lift her up to you right now and pray that you would minister to her heart. And Lord, we know that you are the great healer, that you are a God who does miracles. And so, Lord, we ask and pray that you would heal her, even in this very moment. That, Lord, the next time she goes into the doctors to receive treatment or to do another blood test or whatever she needs to do, that, Lord, they would no longer find any trace of this disease. And, Lord, we would give you the honor and the glory for that. Because, Lord, we know you can do it. And so, Lord, we faithfully and in faith ask that you would do so. So, Lord, we just pray for this young lady. We lift her up to you, and we pray that your will would be done in her life. Lord, we pray for this service right now as we have a special night of communion. Lord, I pray that we would take this seriously, that, Lord, it would be a joy to come to the table, a joy to remember Jesus, a joy to see our Savior who was hanging upon the cross. But Lord, as he died and surrendered his spirit, Lord, he rose again on the third day, conquering death, and Lord, conquering our sin, so that if we believe in him, we can have newness of life, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be called the righteousness of God. And so, Lord, we commit this night to you, and we just ask that you would help us to get to know you, help us to love you more leaving this place than we did coming in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to read this portion of scripture first. So we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Someone say, the Bible says. The Bible says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner may be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Tonight, as God's word has instructed us, we want to come to this communion table. We want to come to the Lord's Supper. And this is a little bit different than maybe what you're accustomed to. I don't know about you, but a lot of parents, a lot of people in society, they have dinner together. You know, there's dinner after school. There's dinner at night. Mom and dad, they keep it really special and make it special for all of us to have dinner at the dinner table. Sometimes you get that like odd night where there's like the microwave dinner, or I remember my mom used to be like, it's fend for yourself night. And so you just have to kind of figure it out. And that's where I'd eat like that hot pocket that was molten lava the first bite, but freezing cold in the middle. But anyway, this is a little different than just eating at the table. You see, the first instance of this meal that Jesus is having, you know, Jesus, this is not the section where Jesus had the meal, but the Apostle Paul is instructing the church in Corinth of what this meal should look like. And so when Jesus first had this meal with his disciples, they didn't sit at a dinner table, but they kind of lounged around a table. It was a table where they would lean on each other and kind of just hang out. It's kind of like if you eat in your living room, you kind of sit on the floor and you may have like your bowl there and you're kind of eating it. That's like what it was the first time there was a communion meal. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to kind of devote our time to this communion meal. It's a time of remembering the cross. It's a time of remembering Jesus. It's a time to glorify our Savior. It's even a time, if you think of a meal, it's a time to savor Jesus. There's certain meals that mom makes that you absolutely love. You savor it. When you hear that mom is making that specific meal, you get excited. You're like, yes. Like even school goes by a little bit easier because you know you got that meal coming, right? But then there's other times where mom makes that not so good meal. That dry meatloaf, that meal that she's like, hey, what did you guys think of this? And you're like, no, I'm just kidding. Gladiator. Anyway, But we savor Jesus. Just like we savor a meal at times, we need to savor him. And this is an opportunity for us to savor him, just to think about him. There's so many teachings where it's like, we go through and we go, hey, I need to fix this in my life, or I need to fix that in my life, or God's convicting me here, or God is encouraging me, or whatever the case may be. There's so many teachings where we focus on different topics, different things. And now tonight, what we have an opportunity to do is to focus on Jesus. It's just to focus on him, just to savor him, just to set our eyes on him. And this is a good thing. The reason why God calls us to do this is because there are so many distractions in life. There are so many things that take our eyes off of Jesus. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, things happen that are not good. Things happen that are detrimental. Think of the Apostle Peter, right? I don't know if you can think of a time where he took his eyes off of Jesus, but I'm gonna tell you about that time. There was a time where because Peter had his eyes on Jesus, because he was so focused on Jesus, he was able to walk on water. I mean, that's insane. That's impossible. But he was able to do so. And you know what happened when he took his eyes off of Jesus? If you know the story, he sank. He sank. And what happened was, it was this moment where even though he was sinking, what I love about that story is he sank because he took his eyes off of Jesus, but he didn't drown. He didn't come overwhelmed by the water. You know what Jesus did? Jesus reached out and he grabbed him and he lifted him up. And of course, Jesus gave him the instruction. He said, oh, Peter, you of little faith, you took your eyes off of me. And this communion meal, what it does is because we're so distracted by social media, because we're so distracted by our friends, because we're so distracted by school, because we're so distracted by our future, because we're so distracted by insert here, Jesus said, hey, do this so you can remember me. Do this so you can put your eyes back on me. Do this so you can restore your faith. Do this so you can savor me once again and not savor whatever it is you're savoring tonight. I mean, we even understand it's because of the cross that my past is forgiven, my present is redeemed, my future is secure. My past is forgiven, my present is redeemed, my future is secure. It's because of the cross that we remember, because of the Jesus we remember, that we devote our whole lives to worshiping him. That's what our lives are meant to do. That's what we're called to do. Everything you do is meant to be an act of worship. Whether you eat or drink, the Bible says, do all to the glory of God. So your whole life is meant to be an act of worship. And so it's because of Jesus, what he's done, that we worship him. And really, communion for us is the most natural place of worship. I think oftentimes when we think of worship, we think of singing, or we think of John Goodman on the stage, or we think of a worship service, right? We think of all these different things. It's like, man, those worship nights that we sometimes have here at the church. So you think of that, but really it's communion that is the most natural place of worship. It's the most natural place to bring our hearts back to a place of worship. It's even been said this way: to him that takes it into his hands, the communion cup or the bread, so to him that takes it into his hands and upon his lips with faith and love, it is a means not only of memory, so we not only remember Jesus, but of contact. Contact with Jesus. That little piece of bread that doesn't nourish us really at all, all it does is really you eat it and it dries out your mouth, right? And you're like, please bring the juice, please bring the juice, right? And you're like, and you're worshiping this, and you're like, I just can't worship because my mouth is so dry, right? So it doesn't do anything, but the sweetness of it is when we take it upon our lips, we're not only remembering Jesus, but we actually get to have contact with him tonight. And that's a sweet thing for all of us. You see, to the non-believer, communion is nothing. It's just a cracker and a cup of juice, but to the believer, it's the way that we can go into Jesus's presence. Spurgeon said it like this, and I've quoted this many times, but it's worth repeating. He said this: never mind the bread and the juice, unless you can use them as people often use their reading glasses. What do they use them for? To look at? No, to look through them. So use the bread and the juice as a pair of reading glasses. Look through them and do not be satisfied until you can say, yes, yes, I can see the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You know, much like the person who can't read a book, or much like the person, like, I'm blind, I have contacts in right now. Like, I cannot see without my contacts. For example, I'll tell you a funny story. Side note, there was a time where we heard a noise in our house in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. And Kaylee's like, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah, I heard that. You know what I did? I can't see at all. And so I grabbed my big old hydro flask that was filled with water, and I walked down the hall, and I was like, if I can just see something, I'm gonna swing at it. And praise the Lord, by his grace, no one was there. That has nothing to do with this teaching, but the whole idea of glasses, we don't look at the glasses, we look through them to see. We don't look at the bread, we don't look at the juice, we take them and we use them to see Jesus. This is Jesus's body that he broke for me. This is Jesus's blood that he spilled for me. I can see him, I can contact him, I can have communion with him tonight. So we use these elements, this bread, this juice, as a way to look at Jesus, to examine him, to set our eyes back upon him. And the idea is this, my challenge to all of us is do not in any way be satisfied until you can see Jesus tonight. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't in any way go, okay, you know, just had another communion. Oh, I've done this before. I've done this in junior high. I've done this in the main sanctuary. We do this all the time. Don't in any way leave this place until you are so focused, until you are so worshipful, until you set your heart and mind on Jesus that you see him tonight. So I wanna kind of close in the next few minutes just with four basic points, four ways that we see through these communion elements. Number one, we look back. So we look back. If you look at verse 23, once again, it says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You see that word remembrance? Nod if you see the word remembrance. Okay, awesome. Remembrance of me. You see, as we partake of communion, we look back. There's a remembering process. That's what the cracker does. When you first have the cracker helps you look back, okay? It helps you remember something. And so what do we look back at? We look back at Jesus. We reflect upon what Jesus' body went through. You see, the cracker that you're gonna receive is broken. And Jesus' body was broken for you. Do you understand that? That there was a guy who had this cracker. It starts out in this big wafer. It's like this big wafer. And Cody, who's in the back, the amazing announcement man, he's in the back. And what he's done is he's taken this wafer and he's broken it into pieces for you. In the same way, Jesus broke his body for you. I mean, that's amazing. No one has broken their body for me. I mean, I think there was a time where at a basketball event that we had here through the youth group that me and a guy at that basketball event, we collided and I think he sprained his ankle or something. So he broke his body because of me, but he didn't break his body for me. You see, Jesus is the only person who's ever broken his body for you. And so we look back and remember that just as the cracker is broken, Jesus's body was broken for you. You see, the cracker is going to be striped just as the body of Jesus was striped. You see, there was whips that went across his body and created stripes across his back. I don't know if you've ever been whipped or ever seen it happen, but it is a painful thing. It's like a paper cut, but times a million. I mean, that's an amazing thing that as we look at this cracker that's striped, we can remember that Jesus was whipped and striped for us. The cracker is pierced. You're gonna see pieces that are pierced through just as Jesus had his hands and feet pierced for us. The cracker is unleavened, which speaks as Jesus's body was never full of sin. There was no sin found in him. Leaven is always a picture in scripture of sin, and this unleavened bread shows that Jesus helps us remember that he was sinless. And because of Jesus's broken body, because it was striped, because it was pierced, and because he is perfect, we can now look back not only at Jesus, but we can look back at our past. There needs to be a looking back in our past. We need to deal with our past. We need to remember the things that have happened in the past. What has happened in the past? There's been failures. We have failed. I'm not just talking about failing a test, but we have failed to glorify God. We have failed to honor God. We have failed God's standard. We have been a failure. Our marks as humans is failed. Big fat F. What else do we look back? We look back at mistakes. It's not just that we failed, but we've made mistakes. I didn't mean to do that, but we still have made mistakes. We have past sins. There's sins. When we look back, we can remember certain sins. Like, I got in trouble for this. I had my phone taken away, or I wasn't able to come to youth group because my parents said no, or I, whatever the case may be, I couldn't play Xbox for a certain amount of time. So when we look back at our past and we see failures, mistakes, and sins. But what do we do with communion. We take this broken, striped, and pierced cracker, and we see this Savior who was broken, striped, and pierced for you and for me. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." My past is forgiven. All the failures, all the mistakes, all the sins, because of Jesus, because of the cross, is redeemed, is wiped away, is completely clean. I was talking to a young lady very recently in the last week, and she confessed to me at one of the schools that I go to that she was sexually active. She was a young lady who was very active in Christian clubs. She's active in her youth group. She doesn't come here. She goes to another one. And she was like, I'm sexually active. I've done things that I'm not proud of, not happy with. My parents don't know. I don't know why I'm telling you. And she confessed that. And I said, well, have you gone to the Lord and just asked him for forgiveness? And she said, no, I'm afraid. And I said, what do you think Jesus did on the cross for you? It's simple. Jesus died for you. And she goes, well, I feel unworthy and unclean. I said, you are. You absolutely are. But it doesn't matter. God still loves you. God still sent perfection for your imperfection. And so guess what? The amazing thing is this. You can remember your past, but you can remember that Jesus has forgiven, has redeemed your past, and made you as white as snow. So you may feel or think you are completely dirty and unclean, but God, through Jesus, has made you clean. You can look back and you can remember that. So we not only look back during communion, but we need to look in the present. We see that in verse 25. So number two, look in the present. Verse 25 says this, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus said this. I want you to notice this phrase. He says, "This is the new cup." That means currently, right now, in this very moment, this is the new cup. There was an old way. This is the new way. You see, as much as we need to look in the past, we also have to move forward from the past. There should be a leaving behind of the past, and we need to now move forward from that past. You see, the past shows us we are sinners. We're destined for eternal destruction. We were blind. We were lost. We were helpless to save ourselves. There was even an old way of doing things, an old covenant, an old law. And basically that declared that we could have God if we followed his law over and over. But the problem is this. We did not keep our end. God said, here's some basic laws. Here is the Ten Commandments. If you do those, then you will be my people. I will be your God. I will be faithful to you. You will be faithful to me. What did we do? We failed. We've already looked at that. We broke our covenant. We broke our promise. God fulfilled his part. We failed ours. So what happens? Jesus comes. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, the scripture tells us. Well, how did he do that? He did that by shedding his blood. You see, in the old covenant, in the old law, when you would mess up, because obviously it's like, okay, if God wants perfection, if God wants you to follow his laws, people are gonna mess up, right? We all know that. That's not rocket science. If we were living back in that day, we would have messed up. It's like, so what do I do, God, if I mess up? He goes, okay, if you mess up, I'll give you a way out. You have to take and make a sacrifice to me if you mess up. And what that sacrifice was you would take this perfect, unblemished, unspotted lamb, and you would kill it. And when it shed its blood, when its blood spilled, that's when God would restore his covenant. His forgiveness was present there in that moment, because the Bible says this, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. That God can't look away from it unless there is perfect blood spilled. And so now you know what Jesus is saying? He's going like this. When he holds the cup in his hands, this is like, remember this. This is amazing. When he holds the cup in his hands, he's going, hey, remember all those sheep you had to kill? Remember all those animals you had to slay? Remember all that blood that was spilled for all the sins that you've committed over lifetime, that nation after nation has messed up in, all those animals that died? He holds up the cup and he goes, this is the last one. This is the complete one. This is the only blood that is needed, because this is the perfect, unspotted Lamb of God, Jesus. You see, this is the new covenant. This is the new blood. You will never need any more blood ever again, because Jesus, I am going to spill my blood for you. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So he's going, hey, don't worry about whatever you did in the past, now my blood is going to cover your sins. You see, it helps us to see this. What's amazing about this cup, we're looking presently. We looked in the past, now we're looking presently, remember. What's amazing about this cup is we can see this. In Jesus, I am currently forgiven. In Jesus, I am currently forgiven. Presently, now, in this very moment, if you have believed in Jesus, if you put your faith and trust in him, you right now in this moment are forgiven. You're like, but Daniel, I messed up today, or I've been living in a season of sin. If you are a child of God, truly living for Jesus, you're presently forgiven. That's what the cup represents, that God has paid for my forgiveness. No longer under sin, no longer under judgment, but at this present moment, you can look at that cup and see the forgiveness of God because of his shed blood. So we look back, we look to the present. Number three, we look forward. Verse 26 says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You realize that? It says, till Jesus comes again. You see, we look in the past, we look presently, but we also need to come and we need to eat this bread and drink this juice with anticipation. There's an excitement. Because sometimes we look at our sins and we go, man, my sins are just so messed up. The last time I took communion, I was okay. And then as much as I've sinned during the last time and this time of communion is just so much, Daniel, I need so much forgiveness. And you kind of get worked up about it. Like, you don't know where I'm at, Daniel. I've messed up. Maybe I'm like that girl. I've messed up in a sexual way, or I've messed up with my mouth, or I've messed up with my mind, or whatever the case may be. And you're like, Daniel, you don't know what I've done or been through. And so that stirs things up. And there's a little bit of sadness coming to the table. It's like, because I messed up, Jesus had to die for me. And there's a little bit of a sadness and a guilt and a regret there. But we also need to do this. We need to look forward. We've dealt with the fact that Jesus broke his body for you. We've dealt with the fact that he spilled his blood and gives you forgiveness presently of even the sins you're in the middle of right now. But now we look forward. There's an anticipation. We look forward to Jesus coming and taking us home. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Jesus right now is in heaven preparing a place for you? Do you realize that? That Jesus, as soon as he went and he died upon the cross, he rose again, he lived for a few weeks, showing that he was alive so people could actually see him. And do you realize that he ascended into heaven and he goes, hey, his disciples are like, please don't leave us. We love you so much. You died for us. You're our Savior. You're our God. What are we gonna do without you? And you realize that Jesus said, hey, it's better for you that I go because I'm gonna send you the helper. So he's sending the Holy Spirit, which is amazing. But he also goes, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus had to leave because he has to go prepare heaven. He has to prepare us for eternity. He's gotta do this in our lives. And so as we come to this meal, we remember what Jesus said. What was the last thing Jesus said when he was on earth? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's the last thing Jesus said. I mean, that's amazing. I think that's amazing that Jesus would look at me and say, I'm preparing a place for you. And as soon as he would allow us to, he's gonna come back for us. He's gonna come back for his bride. And he's gonna take us where he's prepared. And we look forward to that. I know I've shared this before and I'll share it really briefly. It's much like in that culture of the day, in Jesus's culture, the bridegroom would leave town and go and prepare a place for his bride. They would be betrothed, they'd be engaged, but that place wouldn't, or they couldn't get married until that place was done. And you know what would happen? The father would come to this man who wants to marry his bride, and the father would look at the house and go, hey, the house is ready. The place is prepared. Go get your bride. Do you realize that that's what Jesus is doing right now? Jesus is up in heaven preparing the place, and as soon as God the Father says, hey, guess what? It's ready. Go get your bride. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming for us. So we look forward. Number four, we look within. Now look at verse 27. Verse 27 says this, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You see, we not only examine Jesus tonight, but we have to examine ourselves. We have to look kind of within. We examine our strength, we examine our standing, we need to examine tonight our relationship with Jesus. Where's it at? Is my relationship with Jesus on good terms or bad terms? Am I taking my relationship with Jesus seriously, or am I just living in apathy? Am I living in such a way that I'm lazy in my relationship? Or am I living in such a way that I'm diligently sacrificing for him? Am I living in a way that's pleasing to him, or am I living in a way that's pleasing to myself? So you need to examine your relationship. There's times in my marriage with Kaylee that I examine my relationship. And oftentimes I don't examine my relationship and go, what has Kaylee done, or what is she not doing? What do I need to tell her that she needs to do? No, I examine my own heart and I go, okay, what am I failing in? What is it that I need to be doing better? And it's not that me and Kaylee have a horrible marriage. We've got a great marriage, but there's still times where it's like, man, what do I need to get better at? Do I need to bring her some flowers because I just need to stir up the romance? Do I need to serve her to show her that I'm willing to sacrifice for her? Do I need to say no to someone who's inviting us somewhere so I can show her that she's number one and more important than that? There's times where I do that, looking within my own heart and go, what do I need to do? And tonight we need to do the same thing. Jesus has done everything on his part. Jesus has come for you. Jesus has died for you. Jesus has rose for you. Jesus has given you forgiveness. Jesus is speaking to you right now in this moment. Jesus is doing his part. And so for tonight, as we come to the communion table, it's a time to examine our own hearts, examine our standing. Where am I at? It's even this. The church in Ephesus, they were a church that started out so strong. They got saved. The Apostle Paul was there. It was like booming and people were coming and the whole town was getting saved. It was just an amazing thing. And they started out so well. It was like miracles were happening and, you know, it was just amazing. And you know, in Revelation, they get to the book of Revelation. And obviously the book of Revelation is after some time because Revelation is the end. And you know what Jesus said? He says, you've done well, but you've lost your first love. You've left your first love. You started out so well where you were loving me and serving me and spending time with me. And I think many times we start out so well. We come into high school and we're like, I'm gonna do so well. Or we had junior high ministry and we did so well. And then we come in and we get distracted. We fall away for a moment. Or maybe even you go through seasons where it's like the last 2 weeks have really just been, I have not been paying attention to God. I've not been living for God. I've been basically living as an unbeliever. And so you take this moment and you examine your heart and you go, it's time to come back to my first love. It's time to come back to Jesus. Time to come back to the one who bore my sin and bore my shame. The one who, though I was dead, gave me new life. Though I was lost, now I'm found. And it's an amazing thing. There's a little bit of a uniting that takes place within this meal that I wanna kind of address really quickly before we go into communion. And the uniting is this. What's amazing about this communion is when we take it, we're all declaring one thing. You know what that one thing is? We're all declaring one thing. If you eat the bread and you drink the juice, what you're saying is this, I'm a sinner. Did you know that? That if you look at the person next to you, which you should be looking at Jesus, but if you just took a moment and you just go, they ate the bread, they're a sinner too. They're a sinner too. And when I eat it, you go, Daniel's a sinner too. There's a uniting that takes place. And that's good for us to know because I think oftentimes in our own hearts, we look at it and we go, man, I'm the filthiest one. I'm the worst one. No one knows what I'm dealing with. No one knows what I'm going through. I'm looking at things I shouldn't be. I'm thinking about things I shouldn't be. I'm living a way that I shouldn't. But you know what's amazing is we can look and as everyone takes the communion, wow, he's a sinner. She's a sinner, I'm a sinner. But at the same time, as much as we're all declaring we're sinners, Jesus is declaring that we're forgiven. Now I gotta give a warning here. There's a warning in scripture, very, very, very important warning. It's a clear, concise warning. The Bible says here in these verses that if you take this cup or you take this bread in an unworthy manner, the unworthy manner is this. If you're not a believer, if you're like, God's a joke, if you're like, I'm not serious with God or I'm not right with God and you don't wanna be right with God and your heart is hard towards God or whatever the case may be, if you take this cup and you take this bread in that way with your heart not right, the Bible says you're reaping judgment upon yourself. It means you're mocking God. And so here's my warning to you. That's not a good place to be. I would rather for you not take it. When it gets passed around, if you're not right with God, you don't believe in God, Jesus is not your savior, then go, this isn't for me. Because I don't want you to have that judgment. But here's my further plea to you. Get right. If you're in a place where it's like, I might have to refuse this, what's stopping you from getting right? What is it? Is your heart hard? Is there a sin that you're holding on to? Do you not want to humble yourself and acknowledge that you're wrong? Whatever it is, you need to go before the Lord. Maybe for you, you're not even saved. What's holding you back from getting saved? What is it? I mean, what is there bad here? What is the bad? I know there's a cost here. The cost is humility. You have to humble yourself and say, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I can't do it myself. I need Jesus. I need a Savior who's going to come and forgive me and give me new life. But what's stopping you? So the command is clear. If you're a believer in here, you acknowledge by taking the cup and taking the bread, I'm a sinner, but you also acknowledge that Jesus has forgiven you. If Jesus hasn't forgiven you because you have not accepted him as your Savior, you shouldn't take it. But rather, you should get saved and then take it. So we're going to pray here in just a moment, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to get saved. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just go before the Lord and go, I'm not saved, and I don't want to take this meal in an unworthy way. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time we can come and have communion. And so, Father, we thank you so much that you allow us to come before you and have this meal. That, Lord, we can take the bread, this cracker, and we can remember your body that was broken for us. Lord, we can take the cup, and we can remember that your blood was shed for us. That, Lord, your word says there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And so, Lord, we know that we have forgiveness because you shed your blood. But Lord, there may be some in our midst, some who have not received Jesus. Some, Lord, who are not saved. Some who know in this very moment that they're not right with God because they have never asked him for forgiveness. They've never believed in Jesus. They've never put their faith and trust in him. And so, Lord, I want to give them an opportunity to come before you. And so if that's you, if you're not saved in this place and you want to have this communion meal, you want a Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Simply just stand up. This is your moment to get saved, your moment to have a Savior, your moment to be the one that Jesus is preparing a place for. Be the one who Jesus shed his blood for. So if you want to get saved, stand to your feet. Stand up. There's another group of us that might not be right with Jesus tonight. There might be a season of sin. You've slipped up. You've fallen away. There might be someone in this room that you've had division with. The Bible talks about you need to be right with your brother or sister in Christ. And so you might be thinking of that person in this moment and go, Lord, you need to forgive me because I have bitterness towards someone or I'm not right with someone else. And so if you want to get right with Jesus and you're like, I want to be able to take this communion in such a way that God dealt with my sin this very evening and I can take it confidently that he has forgiven me. Stand up. If there's just sin, you've been in a season of sin, stand to your feet and get right with Jesus. Acknowledge that you've just been in a season of sin. Anyone, stand to your feet. You just want to be made right. Your heart's been hardened, but God's softening it now. Stand up. Father, I thank you so much for the work you're doing in this youth group. And Lord, this work all started when you went to the cross for us. Forgiveness was bought at the cross. It was earned, it was given, all because of Jesus. And so Lord, we're gonna have this moment where we're going to worship you. And Lord, we're gonna have some young guys pass out these elements. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be honored and glorified as we worship you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.